And so what a blessing it is, and it is a privilege to come up here and to preach to our people. And I love you guys, and I thank the Lord that we are laboring here together and at Pacific Baptist Church. And what a blessing. So again, pray for Pastor Myers, for Brother Beck, Brother Pachardo, and that they would have a good time. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 14 in your Bible. Joshua, and I'm over here. I told my kids, I said, hey, you know, it's okay to be nervous. I'm nervous right now. Believe it or not, I'm nervous. They're like, Dad, you speak in front of people all the time. I don't preach in front of people all the time. I can lead the choir. Can we just sing for the rest of the service? Can we just do congregational singing? I can do that, and I'm comfortable there. But I'm a little bit nervous. I'm having a hard time finding the book of Joshua, believe it or not. And I'm finally there. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 14. And we'll read a couple of verses here. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Let me say this before I start reading, all right? English is my second language. Okay, right? Brother Bonilla knows, okay? And so my Spanish accent comes out when I read. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but I'll come up here and I'll read some things, and you'll hear me say, for example, if I read the word sinner, I'll say sinner sometimes. And that's that Spanish. English is my second language. So if I mispronounce a word, you know, please don't throw a stone up here and have some patience with me. Anyway, you better have patience with me. This is California, and we're taking over the state anyway, so you better have patience with me, because I'll probably be your boss one of these days. Anyway, I know. People always wonder. I ask my mom, you've been here for 41 years. You've been in this country. You don't know English. What's wrong with you? And she's like, what are you talking about, man? You ought to learn Spanish. This is California. You've been here for how many years and you don't know Spanish? Good night. Anyway, I love America, okay? There. And we kid around. I'm white. I am white. I'm white on the inside. I love America. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. I like this verse right here, and I see this verse in several homes when I visit our homes of our family members here of our church. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but I remember the day that I got saved. Like it was yesterday. I was 15 years old. I was almost 16 years old. I was walking. I was actually at my cousin's house in Glendale, California, off of Central and Chevy Chase. That's where he lived. And I remember he got saved. Chevy Chase. He left when I said Chevy. Do you know who that is? Okay, I hope you don't know who that is. And I know because I got saved. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, Brother Ross. But anyway, I remember getting saved, and the Lord did something in my life and in my heart. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and so I grew up listening to all kinds of bad music, and I grew up watching in all kinds of bad things that you should. I used to watch Jerry Springer as a teenager. Really, you know now. And by the way, that was back when it was still decent. And I don't even think, and at least in my mind, it was decent. It was probably never decent. But there was a lot of things that I used to do, that I used to watch. When I got saved, little by little, the Lord started working in my life, and I started giving up some of those things. Now, do you say it was always easy? No, it wasn't always easy. One of the hardest things for me to give up was music. Oh, it was so hard. And I remember... I got saved on a Saturday. I went to church on Sunday. I got baptized, and I, you guys know, the first time I went to church, I rode on the bus kid, riding on the bus, and I sat in the back because that's where all the cool kids sat, and I was just used to that. I'm sitting in the back going to church, listen to a Spanish preacher, Brother Ezekiel Salazar, who's still pastoring the church there at Montecito Baptist Church, and he was a fireball. He's still a fireball, and I remember I got saved, and then I went home on Monday, and I turned my TV on Monday night, and I was so excited because there was a music awards show that was going to be on. And two of my favorite bands were going to be playing, Guns N' Roses and Metallica, okay? And my kids don't even know who these groups are. They're like, they looked at me kind of funny. Who in the world is that? Some of you who are my age, you know who I'm talking about. And so, and I remember sitting there in my room and turning the TV on. You had to pull a knob, and then you had to turn. It was no remote controls. This is back in the day. And so I'm sitting there, and one of the bands start playing. I can't remember if it was Metallica or if it was Guns N' Roses, but I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm getting ready to rock out a little bit, right? I'm getting ready to bash my head a little bit. And I started listening to the music, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, just started convicting me. And something inside of me said, you know, this isn't right. You shouldn't be listening to this music. And so I got up. I never heard a sermon, you know, against rock music. I got up as a 15-year-old boy, and I turned the TV off. And I can't remember what I did. Now, I say that, and I make my, and I, you know, I'm patting myself on the back. 2 days later, I was back to the music, all right? It was one of the hardest things to give up. When I got saved, man, I wanted something different. And I really believe this. There are people in our city, there are people in our state, there are people in our country who want something different. When they get saved, when they come to church, they want something different. I wish you could be up here when we're singing and there's a new convert, and I wish you could see the passion that they have when they're singing God's songs. And by the way, they'll bob their hair like this, and some people think that I still do that when they lead the choir, and maybe I do, all right, and pray for me. But I thank the Lord that we have, you know, new converts. They want something different. You know what we're lacking in our churches today, and what I've seen, I've been saved for 23 years or so. And one of the things that we lack in churches is commitment. By the way, not just in churches, everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's just a lack of commitment to anything. Okay, how many times do you have to, on January, how many times do people have to like, okay, I'm a recommit myself to exercise? That proves that people, whether it's spiritual or not spiritual, there's a lack of commitment nowadays. How many people decide every January, you know what, man, this is the year that I'm going to do my best. I'm going to strive to eat healthy. Okay? Now, I try to eat right, but you can go overboard with that where you're like, I don't eat at all. Good night. Man, what in the world? What are you? I know you're lying. Don't lie to me. And I look at you, I know you eat, okay? And so, but we lack commitment nowadays. In marriage, you think about it. There's just no commitment in marriage. By the way, I'm not talking about people getting divorced. I'm talking about people like, there's no commitment to husbands reading a book or listening to a message about marriage, something that's going to help you to be a better husband. There's no commitment anymore. How about ladies, wives, not committed to growing, to learning about how to be a better wife? How many of you ladies would say, you know what, I sure could use a better husband? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand, but I think all of our ladies here would say, you know what, I'm not the wife that I should be all the time. I know I need a little help. Okay? Husbands, same with us. Hey, we need a little help. We haven't arrived. Okay? When's the last time you made your wife cry? Okay? Probably last week, right? Okay? Well, hey, join the club. Me too. We have a lack of commitment to marriage, to growing as a husband. Parents, there's no commitment to parenting anymore. You say, man, my job was just to, you know, to feed them and to put clothes on their back and provide shelter for them. That's my job. And once I'm done with that, and I mean, you know, some of us, we look forward to the day where our kids are not in diapers anymore. By the way, that was a blessing, right? And we're beyond that. And then you go through stages in life where, man, I can't wait till all the kids are all in school, all of them, full time, and we don't have to go to the school between, you know, half at 12 o'clock to pick one up, and then at 3 o'clock to pick the other ones up. And there's stages of life. And we sometimes we think that, you know what, once they get to a certain point in life that we're done. Our pastor taught us, hey, we're not done. You know, sometimes we think that it's the Christian school's responsibility to raise our children. Look, God bless Miss Arrow and Miss Edgel. They've been working with the music here in the Christian school. Some of these kids are going to go to fine arts. They're going to be competing in Lancaster. God bless them. But you know what? It's not their responsibility to raise our children. It's dad's responsibility. It's mom's responsibility. It's not grandma's responsibility either. It's dad's responsibility, and it's mom's. There's a lack of commitment in parenting. People are not committed to parenting anymore. There's no commitment. There's no commitment to ministry in church. How many times do people, God's people, well, I don't know, I'm getting tired of this ministry, so I'm going to try something else. There's no commitment to ministry anymore. Really, how many different ministries are you going to try? How many? Now, you know, praise the Lord that at least, you know, some people say, well, praise the Lord, at least they're staying in church. Okay? Well, let's just get committed to ministry. And by the way, when you sign up for something, anytime you do anything, here's what happens sometimes. I think this is one of the reasons we lack commitment. You don't count the cost. You don't count the cost. Thank the Lord that we have people in our church that are committed to ministry. I praise the Lord, and I'm going to brag on the choir a little bit. Hey, well, you know, they don't sound the best. Okay? Well, why don't you join then? But I praise the Lord for our choir members. They were here. A lot of them were here at 4 o'clock in the chapel while some of us were still napping. And that's okay. No, that's not a big deal. But I thank the Lord that we have people that are committed in our music ministry. People that practice, the orchestra members, you know, they have to come in here early to practice. Praise the Lord for that. You know, Sunday school teachers, you know, you don't see this, but they have to actually study for Sunday school at home. Okay? And thank the Lord for people that are committed. But, you know, this tonight I want to help you, and I want to give you some things that hopefully will challenge you. They'll challenge me personally on just how to be more committed in my walk with God, in my Christian life, how we can be more committed. Throughout the Bible, you'll see men and women that are committed. Daniel was committed. He purposed in his heart. He was committed to God. Noah, you think about it. How long did it take Noah to build that ark? Some people think, well, you know, it's probably a couple of years. Okay? It was a whole lot longer than that. And it just depends on where you look at. 60, 70 years. Some people think 100. Okay? It was a long time. That man was committed to doing what God wanted him to do. Solomon was committed to building the temple for God. It took about 20 years to build that temple. That's commitment right there. That building that we're building right now, we've been going for about 10 years now. It's taking commitment from God's people. It's taking commitment. And praise the Lord for that. Thank you for being committed to finishing our building. Tonight, I just want to help us. And, you know, how can we have more commitment in our life? Or what's it going to take to have more commitment in our lives? Number one, if you're going to be committed to Christ, you're going to have to learn to sacrifice. Sacrifice. We're going to have to learn to sacrifice. I like this verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9, the Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Beloved, if God so loved us," verse number 11, "we are also to love one another." Now, I've never been on a cruise. My wife has been on a couple of cruises. I think some of my kids have been on a cruise. Mark and I have never been on a cruise. Pray for us, okay? We've never been on a cruise. We don't want to be, okay? I heard they sink a lot, right? Yeah, and they hit icebergs and stuff like that. And so anyway, but if you were going to go on a cruise, you would most likely see the crew members loading up the luggage and various things onto the ship before departure. Each of these items would be listed on a manifest, a document that would be checked meticulously to ensure that nothing was left behind. The manifest is a record, a written proof of the items on board. Now, we just read a verse here. In this was manifested the love of God. God's manifest of love, or his proof of his love, was shown when he went to the cross, when he sacrificed his life. John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. See, commitment, if you're going to be committed to your church, you're going to be committed to your spouse, you're going to be committed to raising your children, you're going to be committed to your ministry, there will be need of sacrifice. You're going to have to learn to sacrifice. I am not a perfect dad. I'm far from it. My kids know my weaknesses, and they know that daddy gets grouchy at about 8:30 o'clock at night. I get grouchy. No, I get up really early in the morning, so at about 8:30, man, my eyes start sagging, you know, it's like, it's time for bed. And my kids, don't talk to daddy right now. Right? And they know. But you know what? I've tried my best as a father to make sacrifices for my children. Right? A lot of us are into fitness and working out and eating right. I'm into it, believe it or not. But it's not my God. Okay, I don't sit in front of a mirror, you know. Well, maybe, okay, anyway. I'll show off, like, honey, do you see these guns right here? They're here to protect you, all right? And I'll show my kids and whatnot. But I'm not taking pictures and putting them on Instagram and, like, you know, on Facebook and, like, check these out. You know, this is 5 years of commitment. You know, that's too vain, okay? Get over yourself, all right? You're flabby, all right? Okay, there's a filter there. You know, you're using something, and so everybody knows it. But anyway, I made a decision. I used to exercise after work, Brother Ross. I used to go to and I used to go exercise, and it would take me about an hour and a half or so of my time. Now, I started thinking, you know, this is time away from my family. This is time away from my children. This is time away from my wife. You know, there's something wrong about this. And so for me, okay, now, you could do whatever you want, and if the Holy Spirit convicts you about anything, then, you know, then fix it. But for me, the Holy Spirit just started working in my heart and my life and said, you know what, you're taking core hours from your family so that you can go exercise. Why don't you change that? And so I did. Okay, what I do... You know what? I just sacrificed a little sleep. Remember I told you I go to bed, I get tired about 8:30 in the morning? Well, what I do is I get up at 4:30 in the morning, Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, 4:30 in the morning, and I go exercise from 5 to about 6:15, 6:30 or so. Why? Because I don't want my kids, I don't want to take time away from my children. Core time. See, commitment takes sacrifice. You may, as a parent, have to give some things up so you can raise your children, so we can raise our children. Hey, husbands, when you get off of work, go home. What are you doing going to, you know, and hopefully no one's doing this, but out in the world, this is what people do. When they get off of work, husbands get off of work, what do? They go to the bar. I'm going to go to a sports bar. I'm going to go watch a game. I'm going to go hang out with my buddies. Hey, husbands, when you get out of work, go home. Brother Titi, you're not married yet, but when you get married and you get off of work, you go home. Ed, you expect him to come home, right? Don't let him off the hook. Go home. Brother Ross and I, we grew up together. Hey, we're good friends. But believe it or not, after work, we're not like, hey, man, want to go hang out? Hey, let's go, you know, let's go throw frisbees at the park, you know. We're not doing any of that stuff. Hey, look, he wants to go home to his wife and to his children. I want to do the same thing. Maybe you're a dad in here. You're a husband here tonight. And you know, well, I got to have my time. Hey, when you, really? You got to have your time? What about your wife? She needs you. By the way, hey. Nowadays, you have to say this. Ladies, when you get off of work, go home. Well, I'm going to go hang out with the girls. No, go home. How about going home and cooking a good meal for your husband? Amen. How about going to go home and talking to your daughters about how their day went? Our children, by the way, our children want to talk to us. They sure do. Commitment takes sacrifice. Hey, we talked about the choir. Coming to choir practice, right? It takes sacrifice. Sacrificing some nap time to be at choir practice. The musicians that practice here for music, you know what? Sometimes they have to stay after church and practice a little bit. It takes a little bit of sacrifice. Be willing, commitment. If you're going to be committed to Christ, you're going to have to learn. We're going to have to learn to sacrifice. I love this. And most of us, if you've dated, I appreciate this. When I was dating my wife, Brother Raj, you were probably the same way. But when I, and all, everybody who's dated, you know, or courted, whatever you want to call it. But I remember when we were in college, we had a full-time school. And then I worked 40 hours and she worked 40 hours. By the way, listen to that, college guys. College men, a lady working 40 hours to pay her school bill. You can't work 20 hours. Good night. But anyway, we both worked 40 hours. We were both full-time students. But you know what? Man, when we wanted to see each other, we just like, hey, you know what? All right, let's just get up early in the morning. We'll go have breakfast. Breakfast was at 6:30 at our college. And we were willing to do it. Why? Because, man, we wanted to spend some time with each other. Hey, how about sacrificing, doing that, losing some sleep so that you can get in God's word? Amen. How about losing some sleep so that you can maybe pray a little bit more? Hey, how about losing some rest, maybe that power nap, so you can go soul winning on Tuesday night? Sacrifice. We lack commitment because people are not willing to sacrifice. Real quickly here, moving on quickly. Commitment requires sacrifice. Commitment, let me say this about commitment. Commitment is constant. What do you mean by that? It's steady. It's continuous. In other words, it's faithful. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Praise the Lord for faithful people. We look around the church here. And, you know, I thank the Lord for faithful people. Amen. Brother Ron and Brother and Mrs. Chow, faithful people. Praise the Lord for them. And what a blessing. And so many of you, I look around here, just here every day, or every Sunday, every church service, you're just here, you're just faithful, you're where you're supposed to be. You never miss unless you're sick. You're faithful. Commitment requires faithfulness. Hey, let's be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to your Bible reading. Be faithful to prayer. Hey, this is a big one right here. Be faithful to giving. Upon the first day of the week, every week, be faithful to giving. Oh, you know what? I just can't do it this week. No, don't say that. Just be faithful to giving. You look at our kiosk, you go walk out there and you'll see a group of people that have been faithful to giving to our building. One of the quietest couples in our church right here in the front row. They probably hate that I'm pointing them out right now. Brother Eugene and Miss Hong. They've been a blessing. Faithful people. Faithful to their ministries. Faithful to giving. What a blessing. You know what we need more of today? We need more faithful people. Let's be faithful. When we were in Bible college, Brother Treber used to have church ed, and he always talked about, in church ed, he said, hey guys, when you leave Bible college, you know, don't leave not knowing what you believe. Find out what you believe about God's word. Find out what you believe about salvation. Is salvation by faith through grace, or is there something else? Find out what you believe about eternal security. Can you lose your salvation? You know, there's different things that he told us. You know, find out what you believe about music. Find out what you believe about dress. By the way, modesty is still in. Okay? And to find out what you believe about modesty. And once you find out what the Bible says about those things, don't change. Be faithful to those principles and be faithful to those doctrines in the Bible. Don't change. By the way, Jesus never changes. We try to change Jesus Christ. The church tries to change Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ never changes. He's always the same. The Bible is the most constant book in the world. It never changes. Commitment takes sacrifice. Real quickly, commitment takes faithfulness. People that are committed or commitment, number three, commitment is considerable. What does that mean? It's substantial. It's large. It's big. It makes a big difference. People that are committed, man, you can make a big impact in your family. You can make a big impact in your ministries. You can make a big impact in your church. We need more people that are committed. We need more people to make an impact in our church, an impact, a bigger impact for the Lord. We all sing this song, little is much when God is in it. If you've got commitment in your life, hey, that's big. If you're faithful to something, hey, that makes a big difference. Commitment, little is much when God is in it. I like the story of David and Goliath. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, but you know the story. Here's the little David right here, finding his big old giant. But you know what? He was just faithful to his God. And he knew that the Lord was going to take care of him. A little man. And by the way, I wouldn't say he was that little. But I wouldn't mess with David, by the way. I just would not. And some people think, well, you know, writing poems and writing songs, you know, that's kind of girly. Okay, well, you know, David was a songwriter. He wrote a lot of poems. And I don't think that's girly. Okay? And I would not call David a sissy. Oh, look at you, little sissy. What are you doing, writing another song? Writing another psalm? What are you talking about? Are you singing about your little sheep again? You know, I just would not mess with David. I'd be scared he'd cut my head off. But David, little David, made a big difference. Why? Because he was committed. He said, is there not a cause? He was committed to his God. I like sports. And I think a lot of us men and some of you ladies, you like sports. My stepdad used to watch boxing. And I got into watching a little bit of boxing. I like a good fight. I never enjoyed one. What's that guy? Mayweather. I never enjoyed one of his fights. Okay, and they're boring. And I like guys that, you know, like Roberto Duran. Okay, you remember him? I remember Roberto Duran, right? And I mean, when they get in the ring, they're gonna fight. They're not gonna like, you know, jab and then move away. You know, they're gonna fight. They're gonna be in there. Okay, and so but I enjoy boxing. But one of my favorite terms in boxing is this. Pound for pound, this guy is the best. What does that mean? That means, you know what? It's not always the biggest guy that's the best. It could be the smallest guy that's the best. It's not always the biggest guy who is, you know, the best fighter or the best puncher. You know what? It might be the little guy. So you may be in here tonight and you may think, well, I'm just the little guy. If you have commitment, you can make a big difference for Christ. Pound for pound. Let that be said of some Christians here tonight. Pound for pound, this guy is, man, he is some kind of Sunday school teacher. Pound for pound, you know what? This choir member, man, they're committed, and man, they're making a big difference. Pound for pound. You looked at my little daughter. Oh, I'm going to embarrass her right now. Okay? She gets her height from her daddy, okay? Her dad's not the tallest person in the world. But praise the Lord. That little girl like that is willing to sing a powerful voice, by the way. I think, I know I'm biased opinion, I'm sorry, whatever. But pound for pound, commitment makes a big difference. It can make a big difference in your marriage. It can make a big difference in your parenting. It can make a big difference at work, wherever you work. Have some commitment. Number next, commitment has no back door. Commitment doesn't quit. You got too many people quitting. And by the way, you hear, oh, I'm just going to another church. No, they're not. No, you're not. Well, I'm going to try a different ministry. No, you're not. No, you're not. Commitment has no back door. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. I know, I I love America. I really do. We're blessed. I appreciate the freedoms that we have to come to church, to preach, to sing. But I sometimes wonder if I lived maybe in a communist country where, you know, churches, you're not allowed to have church, you're not allowed to preach the word of God. I wonder sometimes if I would have the commitment, you know, to take a stand for Christ. We have so many Christians around the world. Their heads are being chopped off. They're committed to Christ. There's no back door. If you renounce Christ right now, we'll let you live. And they're like, no. There's no back door. I'm not quitting on God. I'm not quitting on my ministry. I'm not quitting on raising my children. I'm not quitting on my wife or on my spouse. I'm not quitting. By the way, sometimes, you know, things don't go the way that we want them to go. I don't know how many times people have pulled their children out of the Christian school because they've gotten upset with a teacher in the Christian school. That's the worst thing you could do. There's no back door. Hey, we're all going to have our disagreements. Believe it or not, Brother Pineda has had disagreements with my brother-in-law, the assistant principal of the school. Okay? Believe it or not. But that doesn't mean I'm going to pull my kids out of the Christian school. That's the worst thing that I could do for them. Just because my brother-in-law disagree on something, you know, well, guess what? I'm going to punish you. Really? Got two grown adults right here, and we're going to punish the children. What's wrong with us? Commitment has no back door. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Thank the Lord for the example that we have in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, he finished what he started. We need some Christians that will just finish what you start. Okay. I just looked at Brother Arnold, and there's a group of Filipino people, a group of men that are into biking, right? And so I went with them a couple times. And man, believe it or not, they're probably wondering, like, man, I wonder how long Brother Pineda is going to last. Is he going to turn back when we get to downtown Long Beach? Is he going to turn back when we get halfway down, you know, the beach there? Is he going to, when is he going to, like, you know what, call for his wife to come pick him up to give him a ride home? When's he going to do it? Believe it or not, Brother Arnold, I'm riding and I'm tired. 27 miles, first trip, 27 miles. Who in the world takes somebody bike riding for the first time and takes them on a 27-mile run? Okay, thank you, guys. Here I am, and I'm just going, I'm going. I appreciate one of the twins. It's late at night. I can't tell which one. Andrew or Adrian, I don't know which one has the compassion. But one of them stays back there with me. I think he feels sorry for me. You know, he's back there with Brother Pineda. Just pulling away. You all right, Brother Pineda? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. We're going. We're going to finish. I'm not going to call my wife. I'm not going to quit. You know, I've heard of some men that Brother Nelson, I think it is, that have struggled, and Brother Nelson has to push them to get to the finish line. Oh, my soul. I'm glad. When I heard about that, I'm like, that is not going to be me. Okay, JJ will do that, but not me, all right? And did I say his name? Anyway, I'm sorry, JJ. But, hey, there's no back door. There's no quit. You start something, you finish it. By the way, some of your young children, your teenagers, You get on the volleyball team, you start something, you finish it. Well, the coach doesn't like me and they don't play me. Well, you start something, you finish it. There's no back door. Basketball players, oh my soul, something that annoys me and irritates me are moody men. Moody boys, moody men. You know, they're happy one day and then they're sad the other day because coach just yelled at me. Moody men. I don't know if they frustrate you, Brother Timmy, but they frustrate me. Now, ladies, you know what? I have a little bit more patience with you. We understand. You're a little bit more emotional. We can get over. But men that are, you know, happy one day and, you know, everything's wonderful and praise the Lord, singing this songs of Jesus. And then the next day they're walking around like this. What happened, brother? Well, my wife didn't cook me what I wanted. Really? Get over it. Moody men. Anyway, you start something, you finish it. Hey, when we played softball, hey, we made a commitment. We used to tell each other this. Hey, guys, we're playing softball. This is a commitment we're making. We start the season, you finish the season. Let's have some commitment. There's a lack of commitment everywhere. Let's be committed. Commitment has no back door. The last thing is this. Commitment, and this is wonderful, commitment is rewarded. Thank the Lord. By the way, thank the Lord that, you know, when we live for Him and we serve Him and when we're committed to Him, He rewards us. You know, when I try to be a good husband to my wife, and when I try to be sweet, and when I try to be nice, you know, when I take her out on dates, you know, I get rewarded. You know, she might cook me, you know, a really nice meal. That's a good reward. You know, I might get a few more kisses, you know, and it's, we got teenagers in here. Well, when you get married, you know what? You'll see what that's all about, all right? Hey, thank the Lord that He rewards us for our commitment. Matthew 25, verse number 21, the Bible says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Rewards are coming our way if we stay committed and if we stay faithful to the Lord. By the way, we are experiencing already a lot of those rewards. If you've got good health tonight, man, what a blessing. You know, if you have a wife that actually likes you, you know, what a blessing. And then she loves you on top of that, okay? If you have a husband who actually likes you and loves you, you know, and takes you out on a date night every now and then, what a blessing. That's a good reward. If you have children, teenagers that actually obey you, what a blessing. If you have children that listen and obey you, what a blessing. Okay? If somebody, if you're in a ministry and somebody writes you a thank you card and puts a little $5 Starbucks card in there, what a blessing. Sometimes you think, you know, man, well, that's nothing. Man, brother, that's all he could afford, man. Good night. Whatever, what a blessing. Man, we get a lot of rewards here on earth. But you know what? Even if you don't get everything that you want here on this earth, all the rewards that you want here on this earth, even if you don't get to win the lotto when you're here on this earth, you know what? When we get to heaven, God's going to reward us for our faithfulness. I don't know where your commitment level is at tonight. Maybe your commitment level has slacked off. By the way, I mentioned a lot of different areas of life. Maybe there's one that I didn't mention, but God has spoken to you about it. I don't know where your commitment level is at, but I would encourage you tonight. Let's raise our level of commitment. Raise your level of commitment in your Bible reading, in your prayer, in your time with your spouse, in your time with your children, in your time at church. Let's raise our level of commitment. Let's bow our head and close our eyes tonight.